Becky, I'm ready to talk about Fallout Boy. I hope you are as well.
Oh, I'm stoked. I am so excited.
This is the best day ever. I'm sitting in the office and I'm ready to go.
Oh, look at you in an actual office.
This is in the house, but yeah,
Got
it's
it.
yeah, we just repainted it, so it's nice. It's a nice new blue and painted the trim, so it's very mood setting. I should have painted it red for this occasion to match the cover, but too late to go back now.
I'll let this one slide.
That's good. Well, we will just dive into it because this specific episode obviously is all about Fall Out Boy, but specifically Folie à Deux, which is their best record, and it's not even close.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you put it that way, that it is their best record, because I am very much in agreement with that. I think this record does not get nearly the credit that it deserves, just for all of the things that they experimented with and all of the different styles and genres that they blended into this one album. And I know that, like, when it came out, it really didn't do great. Like, Infinity on High was a commercially more successful record than this was, but I strongly believe that this is their best album.
It is. Yeah, I almost wonder if they came out with it too soon. Like, it had been just over a year, and like I know like they wanted to capture on that, but you waited 2 years, like a year and a half or 2 years between Cork Tree to Infinity on High. I don't know. It almost felt like it was too soon, but I don't know. I'm sure somebody had an idea of why it was a good idea. I think it came out around Christmas, like around that time, so maybe they were trying to help with that, but it just, yeah, it didn't take off the same way, and that's a shame.
Yeah, I know they kind of rushed into writing and recording this album after Infinity on High came out, and I think that it must have just come out too soon. Like, there wasn't enough time in between to have fans like looking for that next record. But I also think that this album was just ahead of its time. It was something that fans weren't necessarily ready for,
I feel like
and
they weren't, yeah.
yeah.
Which is sad because this record deserved their attention. I mean, it's like I know they consider it like their most collaborative record at the time, and I think you can tell because Patrick Stump always had like that more R&B kind of style. Obviously, when you got to his solo stuff, you kind of saw that, for better or for worse. But I mean, so this record kind of captures all of that, but it's still very much like a Fall Out Boy record. Like, I mean, if you go back and listen to it, like America's Sweethearts is just a pretty like quintessential Fall Out Boy song. Like it's not anything crazy. Like, I think that's the most typical like Fall Out Boy sounding song, I think, on this record. And that's fine because it's a great song, but you've also got others that just don't quite fit in that same way. But I think this one makes it good. That and you pretty much collaborated with everybody pick up the phone when you called. So I think it's yeah, I don't know if they'll ever do it again. They probably won't, but if they ever did something like this again, I would lose it. I would buy it 15 times.
I would be so excited. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at like the guest vocalists on this record, the
So
people that they
good.
were able to get together, and even just on one song,
Yeah, what a
because
catch. Had about seven different people. I mean, Elvis Costello popped up on that song, and you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
that one I love to bring up to my dad, just because my dad is an Elvis Costello fan. And he always makes jokes about like my job and stuff, like, oh, are you working with Elvis Costello now? So that's like the song that I always point to, like, hey, he was on one of these bands, like not my band, but like in my scene. He was on a song.
He was close. He was
So
close. I mean, they always like bridge that gap between like artists. I mean, shit, they had Jay-Z, for Thriller, like do their intro. I mean, they've always got that. You had Kim Kardashian in the video, for Thanks for the Memories. So I guess you can thank Pete Wentz probably for that. I would guess that's probably the one that brought all of them in. But it's just, I don't even know where we start. I mean, we could just start with Disloyal Order, which is probably my favorite Fall Out Boy song. And like, they've always been very good at album openers, but that one I think it hits different. It's the perfect album opener from them.
It's a great album opener because it kind of eases you into the record. I think if they had tried to put it anywhere else in the track listing, it wouldn't have worked quite as well. But because it is the opener and your introduction to Folie à Deux, it works.
I just I, this it's It's just the chorus of it, like it's such a massive like anthemic song, and like it's just, I mean, because the intro to it, obviously, I mean, when it starts out, and you've got this like it builds up to like that chorus, right? And then it just pops out of like it just pops off, and it's just I wish they'd make like more like I don't know if like guitar heavy pop rock. Like I know they still do make pop rock, and I know their guitars are there, but it's just so like this record's 12 years old, and that hurts to think about. But
Oof.
it's yeah, yeah. But it's just
Oh,
yeah. See,
that
I shouldn't
hurt
have said
me.
that. That hurt. Yeah, that's. I don't know. I mean that would be my favorite song on the record, but there's not really a bad song, I think. I mean.
No, and one of the things that I love about this record is how many like one-liners there are, like
Yeah.
iconic moments throughout the record. So like with Disloyal Order, you have that refrain of boycott, love, detox, just to retox. Like
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is a Fall Out Boy moment. You hear that, you
Yeah.
know what you're listening to.
Yeah, that's this is like if they like the album came like it was a little bit ahead of its time. It was ahead of its time in the sense that if this would have came out 09 or like 2010, like when Tumblr was at its peak, this would have been like the thing. Like, I mean, you had the whole section of Tumblr was all like for underground pop punk or whatever, right? And that gave you Man Overboard and Transit and all of them. But the amount of one-liners on this record, I think, would have just blown up on Tumblr if it had waited. But obviously, they couldn't really wait 3 years. But I think that those one-liners would have stuck out because the radio wasn't really, I guess, at that time, looking for this different Fall Out Boy sound as much as they were wanting the same one. And so they gave him I Don't Care as a lead single. And I don't know if that was the right choice. I don't really know. There's obviously a lot of reasons that they do that. People smarter than I am that go into that. But I don't know. I wouldn't have picked it. But I guess you wanted to do a single that was similar enough to Fall Out Boy, but yet different in a way, like to get people ready for a record that wasn't going to just be an Infinity on High Part 2.
Yeah, I think I Don't Care was a good like song to bridge listeners between Infinity on High and Fully Ado, because like you
Yeah.
said, it is similar enough that it's like, okay, this is Fall Out Boy, this is what we're listening to, like let's go. I think it's also just like a really, it's punchy, it's strong, like
Yeah.
it's something that gets stuck in your head. It's easy to like pick up on lyrics when you listen to it
Yeah.
for the first or second time. That's another one that had, is that the one that had the music video where they're like dressed as nuns?
Yes, I think so because well, let me see. I don't know. I'm looking at it now because I think this is the one. Like, I'm looking at its Wikipedia now. No, I don't think this is it.
Okay.
What was that one though? Because this was the one with all the product placement. Like when it went on iTunes, they had all like their product placement in it, and like Pete Wentz was very angry about it.
I'm bringing up the music video because now I need to know if I'm thinking of the right one or not.
Which one was the one with the nuns? It's not America's Sweetheart. America's
I Don't Care is
Sweethearts.
when Joe dresses in a trench coat and just flashes people on the street,
Yeah.
and they all do like kind of awful things to random people.
Yeah.
Oh no, they
Yep.
do dress as nuns and then they
Do
like
they in
rob a
this one?
store.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah, that's I Don't Care. That one
Yeah.
also, it like ends with like a random cameo from Gabe Saporta of
Yeah.
Midtown and Cover Starship,
Yeah.
which is just another one of those weird like, oh, look who we managed to get for this very
Right,
like
yeah.
random 5 second
I
thing.
know. Back when Gabe Saporta was like a hot attraction, right? I mean, 'cause this obviously I don't know what he's been up to in the past like 8 years, I don't think it really matters. I think he's got his money, from the Cobra Starship like five big singles they had, but yeah, this was a time when they just, like I said, they got everybody. They got him. To get him in the video, I think, was a big get too, But obviously, they went up themselves when they got back together because they got Elton John. So, I mean, that's the pull of Fall Out Boy has always been massive, and I think this
Yeah.
kind of helped because it solidified them as not just like a pop punk band, So, I think they. I almost think they owe a lot to this record, and maybe they do personally, like maybe they know that personally, but I think a lot of fans don't look at it that way.
No, I think there's a lot of fans that would rather just kind of forget this album exists,
They're
which
wrong.
they're so wrong. And I think that there was a lot of not necessarily disappointment, but I think that this album just didn't do what they hoped it was going to do. And that's what kind of led them to the eventual like breakup, hiatus, whatever you want to call it. Which is a shame because I would love to know what Fall Out Boy could have been had they not taken that time off. I love Save Rock and Roll. That is a great album, and
It
I
is a
think
great record, yeah.
it was a very strong comeback for them. But I am curious as to like if they hadn't taken that time off, would they have continued down this path that they set for themselves with Fully Ado, or would they still have gone in the direction of Save Rock and Roll?
I think Saving Rock and Roll like that sound would have been inevitable. Like I think with each record they got less and lost less and less quote unquote pop punk, right? So I think it would have been inevitable. I think it would have had like a longer wait. I mean, but I don't know. I would love to see like what the follow-up to this would have been in like 2010 or like whatever it would have been, or if they would have like kind of reverted back like. When I think of bands that like change sounds but then like reverse course, the first one I think of is for better or for worse, All Time Low. You know, when they, you know, kind of went off and did Dirty Work and then it didn't do so well and they said, we'll go back, you know. So I don't know if they would have done that. Like I don't know if they would have kind of stepped back and said, all right, this, you know, we tried it, didn't go well, let's try something else. You know, but I would have loved to hear what came next from them, but unfortunately we'll never know. And then let me ask you this off topic from this record for a second. Do you think that Fall Out Boy has another hit song, like another hit single in them?
Like now?
Yeah, like do you think they've got, because Mania didn't like have like a big single, at least not like not in the same way that like they had done from Save Rock and Roll or like the big, you know, the big ESPN single or like the big, like they had songs that were like on commercials and things like that, obviously, but. Do you think they've got another like the ability to do another song like Centuries or like my songs Know What You Did in the Dark or anything like that?
I think they could. I'd like to think that they could. I think that they still have a lot of unexplored territory that if they could just kind of tap into it and hone that a little bit, there could be another single there. I'll admit I haven't listened to Mania a ton. That record just didn't ever click with me.
Same, yeah.
I don't know if revisiting it now versus when it came out would like make any difference because it's been a couple years already since Mania came out.
Yeah, it's been 2017 or 2018. I know it got delayed a lot. But I think it came out in January 2018. So it's been over 2 years. So I mean they've got to have something coming. I mean it's been about that time. I know they're just probably sitting home right now, so you think something
Yeah,
I
I'm sure
mean,
somebody's writing.
somebody's got to be. Pete Wentz is writing something. It's just, you know, whether. I didn't like Mania either. I thought it was. I don't blame them for doing it because I think they got the right to do whatever they want, you know,
Oh,
musically,
absolutely.
you know, and doing the experimental, like electro pop, quote unquote, kind of sound, you know.
It just wasn't an album written for a listener like me.
No, yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it's their. It is their first album. I'm looking this up now. It's their first album since Take This to Your Grave to not have a Hot 100 single. You know, so that's they that's what I think of when I think of like a big like single. Because I know they've got the last of the real ones is like a gold certified single. So like it sold a lot, you know, and it sold a decent amount, I should say. You know, like a gold single is still not easy to do. You know, so like I know that's like to their credit, but
Yeah,
I
no
think of
matter.
like big songs. I would like to think they could do it too. I just don't know how they get there. Like I don't know what they do next, you know? So it's
Yeah,
hard
I
to
mean,
picture that.
no matter what, they'll always have that like core fan base that is gonna go out and buy whatever they release. But yeah, I mean it definitely isn't easy to do what they've done over the years, and I would like to think that they could do it again. And I don't know, they might surprise people, which is something that Fall Out Boy has been known to do, is just surprise people.
They've definitely done it, you know, and I just, I don't know what they do next. And I don't even know if they know. I mean, I think back to the song they did, that Dear Future Self song. I didn't really like that either. And I just, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting for them, and maybe I'm just too caught up on like this record to like, or just even like Save Rock and Roll, because Save Rock and Roll was a great pop record, but American Beauty, American Psycho was kind of, you know, about 60% good, and then Mania was, you know, I haven't listened to it either in probably 2 years, so.
I think I liked American Beauty, American Psycho more than most
Did
people seem
you?
to like that record.
Yeah.
I actually really loved that one. I don't know, it had some really catchy tracks on there,
Yeah.
and it was experimentation on their part, but not so far-fetched that I was like, I don't know
Yeah.
what this is, I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked, if I'm looking at it, I really liked Irresistible. That's one of my favorite, like, reunion, like, Fall Out Boy songs. Immortals is a pretty good song. Favorite record's pretty good. Fourth of July. But I just, the title track to me is just so bad. Like, it's very hard for me to like get over that. That was like, they're like, new record, here's the new song, and that was the song they picked, you know. And it wasn't like Uma Thurman or like, because I know Centuries had been out for like a year or whatever it
Yeah,
was by
because
that time.
that was part
But
of the Big Hero 6 soundtrack.
yeah, Immortals was so good. Immortals was a great song. So I guess you had, by the time the record was announced, you had Immortals out, and then you had Centuries out, because that had been on like ESPN forever. And then you did American Beauty, American Psycho, and that song, which I guess didn't know. I didn't know that that was written by like Nikki Sixx had a part in that. I had no idea,
Oh, I didn't know that
or if they
either.
sampled something from him. But I don't know.
It definitely took longer for it to like click with me than did the previous
Yeah.
records. But once it did, I did really like American Beauty, American Psycho.
Yeah.
I just never got to that point with Mania where I was like,
Yeah.
okay, now I get it.
Yeah, it's an interesting record, and I think they, you know, they've, I don't know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like what they would be thinking right now, because I know they're not a band that's gonna like backtrack, I guess. You know, like, just based on how they've talked about like previous records and like not doing anniversary tours and like not reflecting too much on that, you know. So
Which is commendable. Like, they don't want to rest on their laurels, so to speak. Like, they understand and appreciate like what their success has been over the years, and they want to just keep moving forward. Which is, I get that.
I get it.
I
I
would
just
love
wish.
any kind of an album show on Folie à Deux.
Oh, that's all I want. I would even take like a live stream. Like, I'm so desperate. Like, I would take like a live stream of them doing it now. Like, what else are you doing right now? Figure it out. I mean, you could do like a live stream for every record if you want to. Blue October's doing that, sort of. They've done it a little bit.
Oh,
I
I didn't
mean,
know that.
yeah, they did it. They did it last Friday. They did one for Foiled. And it was like, I forget what it was, but they sold like a bunch of like tickets for it. So like, if they could do that, that's fine. I would pay a decent amount of money, even if it was sitting at my computer watching it, you know.
Yeah.
But I just want to hear $20 Nosebleed live. Like, that's like a song I would love to hear. I see
Yes.
one of Catch Donnie. I saw that live on the reunion tour, and it hurt. Like, it hurt a lot, so I'm okay with that. But $20 Nosebleed, or She's My Winona, that's what I want out of life.
I would kill for $20 nosebleed.
Yeah, they should do it. They should
I
find a
think.
way to get Brendon Urie to pop on for like his little part, or his part, not his little part, his part in
Yeah.
the song.
You could do
And
a joint Instagram live stream and just have him join in.
yeah. Yep, they should. We should
Technology.
organize this one. You gotta get Lil Wayne too for Tiffany Blues. Debbie Harry, you gotta get her in there. I don't know if Elvis Costello can use Instagram Live, but you know, it's okay if not. I mean,
I recently realized that Brian Mays from Queen has an Instagram and
does he?
goes like live on IGTV and
Nice.
is a very active user. So like if he can do it,
Hey, if he can do it, Elvis Costello can do it.
yeah,
But I
somebody
think
can show him, he can get it.
he should, but I think he's, I almost think he's sick, isn't he? I remember him being like very sick like a few years ago, so hopefully he's like not anymore. But
Oh, I don't know.
yeah, I don't I'm not sure. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite song on this record, if you had to pick one, which is very hard to do, but I'm curious.
I have always, it's always been like a back and forth for me between like three songs on the album. I love the Shipped Gold Standard.
Yes, very good.
What a Catch Donnie is just one of those songs that completely blew my mind the first time I heard it. Like what they did with all of the guest vocalists and how they had all of the throwbacks to older Fall Out Boy songs was just so incredible and something that I just never heard before. And then I absolutely love Brendon Urie and $20 Nosebleed.
Yeah,
I,
solid.
like I said, would kill to have some sort of a live version of that, just because I think their voices play so well off each other
They
because they are
do,
such similar singers.
They do.
Yeah.
I think What a Catch was probably like, I don't know if this is like, I don't know if this is right or not, but at least for me, similar to what you said, it's the first time that I heard a song that like called back to their previous songs like that, you know, that especially like spanning in their entire discography, you know, going all the way back to Growing Up. Like, I can't think, and it's probably happened before them, but maybe not, but that's the first time where I heard a band do that, you know, and then it kind of blew up. I mean, the Wonders did that forever and a day, you know, for you know, for every record, all, you know, for their first few records or whatever it was, you know, and I don't know if that's directly inspired by this. I don't know, but this, like, looking back on it, I think that was a song that just showed again, in the middle of, right smack in the middle of this record, that they could just do pretty much whatever, you know, and they could do it well. And I think that's part of why they've earned it, right? Most, I mean, any artist does, but especially when you've sold that many records and almost everything you've done has been platinum or gold. Like, obviously, you know what you're doing, you know, and this kind of, I think this record more than anything, and probably that song, played a good part in just giving them the confidence to do whatever they wanted.
And I think that is like solid proof of their appreciation for where they've been and how far they've come. Like that was their nod to everything that had come before it.
I think so, 'cause they, I mean, they did more than a lot of, you know, more than a lot of people maybe remember. And I know for a lot of their new fans who are younger, you know, like they don't know a lot of like their like they've always known Fall Out Boy is a massive band, right? Like one of my employees is like she's 17, so she's part of that whole Gen Z thing. And I know if I talk to her about Fall Out Boy, that she's not gonna know like a lot of their earlier songs, which is why they don't play them live. You know, they don't play a lot of them live because there's not what a majority of their fans know, you know. So I know a lot of fans like think of them as just the big band Fall Out Boy, but they did really come from nothing. Or, you know, they started out as just a small band in Chicago, you know, and played a
Playing
lot of
basement
small
shows.
shows to nobody. Played a lot of basement shows, played a lot of shows to nobody, you know, and I think they never forgot that, even through everything where they are now. It's
It's like it's insane to think like and it's true of any band that like blows up like that. It's insane to think like where they started from and how far they have come. And any band on that level, like you said, there's a lot of fans that don't know. Like if you ask a 17-year-old about Take This to Your Grave, chances are they're not going to know because how old were they when they like were they even alive when it came out? I don't can't do math at the moment,
Probably
but
not. No, I mean, for that specific reference, you know, for the employee that I had at 17, she'd have been just born in 03, right? So I mean, that first half of like pre-hiatus, like, she would have been six by the time they broke up. Like, you don't know. Like, you're not, I mean, you may be heard on the radio, but at 6 years old, you're not really, most likely, or most, you know, 6 years aren't at like looking up like songs they hear on the radio, you know, to
right, like
dive into a band, you know.
unless they've got like an older sibling or a cousin or something who is like showing them this music, like they're not actively seeking it out themselves, so.
Which that hurts too to think about. That there's like, you know, and I know that there are a lot of their fans are young, but it's so strange to think about just there's so many fans that didn't know them, you know, coming up on like, you know, the time that, you know, Kevin Lyman got him on Warped Tour the same year as Mike Kim, because they were both small bands a year before, you know, and then they blew up, and that was just, you know, just that's just such a crazy thing to think about, you know, that they were doing, you know, a shit ton of like, they were selling a lot of alternative press covers. Like, every time they were on there, it would just like blow up, you know, and they almost signed to Victory Records, and they almost signed to Drive-Thru Records. And there's just Such a, that's also a weird thing. What would have happened if they would have signed to Victory Records? But like,
oof,
that's a
I don't want to think about that one.
that's a whole other sidetrack. But just it's thinking about what, like all that small stuff that they just, you know, people don't know about, and you know it's not their job to know, but it's just so weird to think of how far they've come, and just I don't know, just that they were someone's small band at the time, and now they're just never going to be a small band again, you know?
Right. And I think that there's been so much talk in the past, you know, 6 months or so about My Chemical Romance because of the reunion and everything that they have meant to the quote unquote scene and everything that they did for the scene because they managed to break mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think amidst all of that, people have kind of stopped talking about Fall Out Boy in that respect.
Yeah.
And I think it is important to think about what they've done, because like I know for me personally, Sugar We're Going Down came out right around the time that I was starting to discover that kind of music, and it going mainstream and being on the radio and stuff like that, like that's what propelled me into this scene.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of people with similar stories to that, where like that was one of their first introductions.
Yeah.
And now like that's what they listen to, that's what they love.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think a lot of My Chem, and you know, this is like My Chem should get a lot of credit, but I think also kind of what you mentioned, I think a lot of people are not putting too much into My Chem, but you've got a lot of recency bias there, right? Like this is like when Fall Out Boy first came back, that's the band that came back, that's when, you know, everyone comes out of the woodwork, so to speak, right? They're like, oh, I've loved this band forever, you know, and whatever it might be, you know, and so you get a lot of that, you know, people that, you know, discover them. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, not knowing who they were before they broke up, you know, but you get a lot of people who are always just kind of talking about the band that just got back together.
Yeah.
You know, like when Blink first got back together, it's the Blink was, you know, Blink was the most important pop punk band ever. And, you know, and so it's just, I think that's kind of part of what it is. And there's, you know, there was obviously a time when Fall Out Boy was the bigger band, you know, I don't know if they still are. You know, I think, again, that would come back to a lot of people. If My Chem dropped, like, a new record this Friday or something like that, you know, it would just be, My Chem is back. Holy shit, what does this record sound like? You know, so, which that would be interesting to hear. But through all of this, I just want a Fall Out Boy and My Chem tour. That would be perfect, I think. Because I think that's probably where, like, I think My Chem, just if I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark, they're probably not going to sound anything like what they used to sound like either, you know, so.
Oh, definitely not. And even from Welcome to the Black Parade to Danger Days, there was such a huge jump there.
Yeah.
And now we're fast forward a few years and they're older, their lives are vastly different than they were back then. And
Yeah,
it would not sound the same at all. I wonder what a My Chem album would sound like in 2020.
I know, right? Yeah, see, oh, Danger Days came out 10 years ago. I just saw that. I just looked that up.
Wow, I'm really not feeling good about myself.
Yeah, November 22nd, 2010. Yeah, that's a rough one. That also was a record for another time. With that record, I think, has aged also pretty well, you know, and it's a record that I think also similar to Folly for Fall Out Boy that got a lot of hate just because it was so different. You know, like it was just another concept album, but it was very different of a concept and very different sounding. And, you know, I didn't even like it back then, but I was also 16 in 2010. So what the hell did I know, you know, but like, it's a record that I think has aged pretty well, not more than their other records. I think the Black Parade still holds up and whatever, but.
Admittedly, I am not the biggest My Chem fan.
Okay. That's fair.
Welcome to the Black Parade was the only like record I really got into.
Okay. All right.
And then like a couple singles from the records before it, and then Danger Days, I just never, it never did it for me.
Yeah.
So I can't really speak much to the changes there. Like I do know it was a very different record. I remember listening through it and being like, I don't know what this is.
So if I ever do one on that, we'll have to find someone else because this
is,
no, you're no, that, I mean, it, but this, that's about as comparable, I think, as like Fall Out Boy and My Chem get, is that like, they just, they both kind of came up at that same time as, a quote unquote pop punk band, or even though My Chem was a little bit less poppy, whatever it is, that you're just getting some, we're getting into semantics at that point, but they just both kind of diverse, they just kind of went their own ways, and they both put out great records, and then that was the end of it, so, but it's so strange to think about, like, Folly, when it was like a commercial, not failure, but coming off Infinity on High, it only sold 159,000 copies in its first week, right? Which is like, yeah, and
Only.
that was like number eight. It debuted at number eight. Like, 150,000 gets you at number one. It's not even close now, and that's just pure album sales too. So 150,000, like, pure album sales just doesn't really happen now, so. But that's just the music industry in general. Just no one buys records anymore. But
Yeah,
it's weird to look at that.
commercially, like sales-wise, it didn't do as well as Infinity, but I think
Yeah.
reviews-wise, like critic reviews, I think it did better,
Yeah.
if I remember correctly. Like it had a lot stronger reviews from all of like the big music outlets.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I mean, it looks like it got quote unquote mixed reviews. But I think this is one that would probably, it looks like it's comparable. I think Metacritic gave it like a 73 for Folly, then Infinity on High had 75. AV Club gave it a better score. Entertainment Weekly gave it a not as great of a score. But it looks like most people did give it a better score. Rolling Stone gave it the same score actually, but that's fine. So
Yeah.
I think if you did like a retroactive review, and I think you would give it a better score,
Yeah,
but
I think that goes back to what we were saying about how people just kind of weren't ready for this
yeah.
album.
Oh yeah.
I'm always curious when people do go back and retroactively like review something, or they do like a follow-up review and see how the scores change based on, how much time has passed and how that person's life is different and like if what they're listening to now
Yeah.
is, it corresponds to what they were listening to back then, or if it's vastly different.
Yeah. Oh
Because I
yeah,
think that all
absolutely.
plays like a huge role.
Yeah, it is, I think again, there's, I mean, even back in like 08, I would be lying if I said I love this record as much as I do now, because I was also 14. So like I didn't listen to anything that was like out of like that old Fall Out Boy sound, like I listen to a lot of country music now. I certainly didn't listen to country music when I was 14, and I know my tastes have changed, and I know obviously that's one of those things, like over the past few years I've been able to go back and look at this record and go, just knowing how good it is, and knowing that they just, each song is so very different, like they're ricocheting between genres and like tempos and time signatures and all this stuff, even during like specific, so like one song, right? So it's just such a fantastic record that I think everybody, if they haven't listened to it in X amount of time from front to back, I think it's worth it, worth a shot. And if you still don't like it, then it is what it is. But I think a lot of people will find that it has aged probably the best out of any Fall Out Boy record.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they took a lot of risks and tried a lot of very new
Yeah.
things, and ultimately it paid off. It might not have at the time,
Oh yeah.
but just looking back, it's so good. They haven't done anything
Yeah.
like it since, and I don't think they ever will do anything like it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't think of a single album that sounds like it from any artist.
Yeah. I mean, I know like when it came out, I think it got, and I was just looking at its Wikipedia, so I think I could sell this on there too, which might be why I'm thinking of it, that it got like compared in ways to Pretty Odd by Panic at the Disco, in the sense that it was like, that it was so different from them, but that you get a little bit of everything. But I think this was almost a little bit easier to listen to at the time than Pretty Odd, because Pretty Odd was such a gigantic shift from Panic, and
Pretty Odd,
this.
sorry, it
No, go ahead.
also, Pretty Odd also had some very like folk leaning
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
qualities. Like
absolutely.
I think that that was something that was hard for a lot of people to understand and get into.
Yeah, it did. They had a lot of kind of like Beatles and like Beach Boys influence on there. And this one sort of did. Like Folly sort of did for, Fall Out Boy in some ways. It had a lot of like 80s melodies and like kind of like symphony, like Sgt. Pepper's kind of stuff, but obviously not like that, directly sounding, but you can tell they got influence from a lot of, bands that weren't just like Blink. Like not just like Green Day and like The Offspring and all those like pop punkins that they would have listened to growing up, because like us, their tastes obviously changed in the past 5 years since they put out, Take This to Your Grave, so it's, I just don't know how much else that, people could try to convince people to listen to and enjoy it other than they just need to do it. And if they don't enjoy it, they're just wrong. And that's just the
Wrong.
that's just
You are
wrong.
wrong.
That's wrong. Music is subjective except for this. This is just the ultimate.
This is the one thing where either you're wrong or you're right, and
That's
if you
right.
don't like it, you're wrong.
If you don't like it, then your opinion on everything music is just bad. Oh, this I'm trying to think of what else, like I'm looking at the track listing now, I'm trying to think of what else like sticks out besides everything. I do think kind of like what we said earlier, this record did set the stage for them to do everything that they ended up coming back and doing. Just because it was so different, so poppy, then obviously, Patrick Stump did his solo stuff, which was very similar-ish sounding to what Fall Out Boy sounds like now. And Pete Wentz kind of did Black Cards. I don't really, I mean, sort of, but that didn't last very long, so.
I remember a set at Bamboozle and maybe like a Warped Tour, and then Black Cards were no longer a thing. But BB wasn't that was with BB
Yes, B.
Rexha, right?
Rexha, yeah, that's
She went on to do some
yeah.
other stuff. I think she had a song with G-Eazy at one point.
Yeah. B. Rexha, she's done pretty well, for herself, which is good for her. I just saw her open for Jonas Brothers. Is that who she was on tour with? Yeah, the Jonas Brothers. So,
Do you remember live music?
yeah. So, yeah, that was a long time ago. My last concert, no, my last concert would have been Dan and Shay and the Band Camino, but like Jonas Brothers was pretty close back in September. So, TBT to when we could go outside and see music live. So,
Yeah, my last concert was March 9th, and it was Sleep On It, Never Kept. Who else was on that? There were some other bands on that too, but Sleep On It and Never Kept are the two that I like went to see.
yeah. I almost said Better Love, but I don't think that's right. Bearings and Between You and Me, we're on that.
Oh, yes.
Bearings. Ah, Bearings is very good.
Other great bands that I
That's a
just
very
don't.
good band.
Yeah, I just don't know them as well.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm looking at BB Rex's discography now, and it turns out she's done very well for herself, because outside of that G-Eazy song, she did a song with Florida Georgia Line. That's almost like a guaranteed way to make some good money.
Oh, good for
That's a
her.
9x platinum single, so she's been,
Okay, you get it, sis.
yeah, good Lord. The G-Eazy one's 5x platinum. All right. I wonder if
Yeah,
Pete
I knew
Wentz
the
to take some
G-Eazy one did
credit.
well.
Yeah, the G-Eazy one did very well. But this, man, Florida Georgia Line makes money for everybody. They've made Nelly some money pretty recently. I mean, if I was Fall Out Boy, I would collaborate with Florida Georgia Line. I think that's we could use a country Fall Out Boy song. That would just be wild, actually. But I
I mean
wouldn't
it
turn it down.
at this point, I feel like all bets are off and they can just kind of do literally whatever they want. Like everyone, if they were to drop that this year, it would make a killing because everyone's stuck at home and
Everyone
just
is, yeah.
desperate for literally
It
anything at this
is,
point.
yeah. Yeah, people would buy it because they just want new music, and I think that's, why you see some bands still releasing new music, and All Time Low released their record, 1975 is about to drop their record, and this and that, and you're just hoping that it catches on, whether it does or not. I mean, that's kind of one thing, but I think the further you get into this, I think the more desperate people are gonna get, and I think artists will eventually find ways to capitalize on that. I think we're all kind of going through it now. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some really fucking wacky collaborations come out of this. You know,
that's what so I'm hoping for.
I hope so. Like, I
like if we're gonna be stuck home, at least we should get some weird things out of it.
Listen, the Florida Georgia Line Fall Out Boy one, that like that's crazy, but like it's, I mean, they've got to be like, if you're doing like, what is it, the 7 degrees of separate, 6 degrees, whatever the Kevin Bacon rule is, like, mm-hmm. they can't be that far down that. I mean,
no, they can't.
They got to be like 2. I mean,
we're going to manifest this for 2020. I'm putting the vibes out into the universe now. Pete Wentz, if you hear this, please make it happen.
I'm going to email this to their team and be like, hey, just so you know, if they ever wanted to talk about their best album, we'll have them back on.
Yeah.
Just so we can get their input on it. Because I do wonder how they look at this album. Like, I wonder, like, if they just, they'd hate it. Or, like I said, if they look back on it and know that this album kind of, like you said, commercially didn't do that well, but, like, set the stage for them to come back and just make a pop record. And everybody go, huh, that makes sense for them. Like, you know, it's, this helped. I mean, this, like, they were always more poppy-ish or whatever, but I wonder how Save Rock and Roll would sound if they, I don't know. It's such a weird rabbit hole to go down to, like, if this happened, then this happened, you know?
But right.
All we know is this record happened, and it's great that it happened.
Yeah, it's like the butterfly effect, where you just don't know where things would have ended up if, like, that one tiny thing was different.
Yeah. Like, if they didn't get Jay-Z on Thriller, you know, which...
Ooh, which, yeah. I shudder to think.
Yeah, or they didn't get, did they get, when they covered, when they did their live album, when they covered Beat It, was that John Mayer? Am I making that up?
No, that was John Mayer.
That's right. Yeah. See, that's another one of those artists that's like, they should collaborate with him again. Anything John Mayer does is like gold. So like, I mean, you couldn't really mess it up. So I would like to see anything that they could do with John Mayer.
Yeah, I hear he's not the nicest person.
Well, you know.
But as a guitarist, he is one of the most talented guitarists of our generation.
Yeah, he's got a lot of things that are out there about him that as a person, he's not, you know, that great. You know, which that's not good. You know, I can't condone that. But
no.
It's hard to listen, like it's hard to look back at like on his early stuff too and go like Gravity's a great song,
mm-hmm.
and I just putting him and Fall Out Boy like in a room together to like make a record I think would be unbelievable, you know.
Yeah, I think we would get some very cool things out of that.
We should put that out of the universe too. Whatever's gonna happen, we've got plenty of time. I feel like to be quarantined, so they've got all the time in the world.
I don't necessarily see us returning to live music anytime soon, so I'm really hoping that bands like hunker down and make some good music in the midst of
They've
all of this.
They've got the technology. So if Fall Out Boy wants to get a little bit weird, they want to make Folie à Deux Part 2, let's go.
You don't even need to be in the same place to make music together anymore.
That's right. Blink made a whole record and they weren't in the same place ever. I mean, that wasn't, Neighbors wasn't that great, but I mean, you can do it.
I have to disagree. I like Neighborhoods.
All right.
Hot take.
All right. I mean, that's another topic. We'll do that some other time because that could be a whole 40 minutes dissecting Neighborhoods, you know. But I will say that Wishing Well is a great song. I really Wishing Well.
Okay. As long as we can agree on that.
That's a great song.
That's my favorite on the record. As long as you can agree that it's a great song, we're good.
It's a phenomenal. It's very much like a... If I think of what Blink sounds like, that's kind of like the most like Blink sounding song they have. You know, I mean, Heart's All Gone was like there, but it was like kind of felt forced almost, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, Wishing was a good song. Up on I actually don't think it was that bad. I actually like that song, so I'd give that song a thumbs up. Wishing Well, 2 thumbs up, and then I had to go back and listen to it, but that's where I'm at right now.
Okay. That's fair. I'll take it.
All right. Well, I'm glad we were able to do this. I feel like we can't make any more good points about why people should like this record other than they just should. And that's, like we said, if they don't, they're just plain wrong. And that's okay to be wrong sometimes.
It is okay. accept it and we move on, but you're still wrong.
That's right. We can accept it as long as you can accept that you're wrong. So That's the most important thing. So, well, I'm glad we were able to get this done. I appreciate you coming on here and doing this with me. And if we ever get to the point where weeks from now, we're still sitting at home, maybe we'll spark up a 45-minute argument on neighborhoods. So
Yeah,
that
or
might be next.
maybe we'll do a deep dive into all of Fall Out Boy's
All of the, you know
discography.
what? That would be a trip. That wouldn't bother me one bit. So I'm sure we'll do one of those or maybe both of them sometime because, like we said, we've got nothing but time for the rest of the year at least.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Sign
Well, I
me up.
appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. We'll get it done and we will go from there. But other than that, Fall I Do is a great record, and that is that on that.
Cool.
Thank you.